Yes, yes, we are here. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, providing analysis steps ahead of the mainstream chatter. This is not your usual talk show, and I think you'll realize that if you just listen for a few minutes. 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. There's a lot going on today. Jeff Flake, the Republican senator out of Arizona, is planning to launch a torpedo assault on Trump tomorrow. And he is like Princess Little Piddles. He's letting it loose, little bits of it, you know, feeding it to a friendly press. So we almost know what kind of dribbling he's going to engage in tomorrow. So I'll give you some foreshadowing of that. This way you will know what's going on before it even happens. Now, sensitivity to transphobia, which is your discomfort with somebody cutting off a sex organ, that also is in the news, and I'll explain what I mean by that probably in the second hour. And Trump is fat. We've learned that from his doctor, who gave a wonderful press conference. I'll give you some of the highlights of that. And CNN was on hand with some intrepid reporting. Hilarious stuff. Now, Trump is still in hot water over Pujolgate. If you listened to the program yesterday, you know that I called it Pujol, and I used the Hispanic, the Spanish spelling, P-U-J-O-L. And as soon as I did that, I found out that there was an article that came out that said that Albert Pujol is the worst player in baseball. I have no idea what it means because I know nothing about sports. I used to live on my street. That's a true story. Lived a few houses up from me. Don't know him. I thought he was good. But anyway, the Pujol that we are talking about today is a different Pujol. It is the Pujol in Africa, the Pujol in where else? Where was it? Haiti. Yes. And the president is still in hot water over this. But I thought it was quite interesting that we have Pujols closer to home. Have you, ladies and gentlemen, been to San Francisco? I assume if you are in the state, have traveled a bit, you have been to San Francisco. San Francisco was once a beautiful city. It still is a beautiful city. San Francisco, as it stands today, could never exist with the politics that are there presently. Okay, so what made San Francisco great, in other words, during its great, you know, and well-documented periods of expansion, of growth, of innovation, of capitalistic triumph, could never happen with its present-day government. San Francisco is a socialist republic. But this is not what I want to get into quite yet. There is a map online. You know, I got to tell you, this is where the internet really comes in handy. That documents every single public defecation in the city. And I have it here. No, I you know what I mean. Human beings are dropping turds all over public sidewalks in San Francisco. If you go to San Francisco, friends, you might want to wear those welly boots, you know? And if you've got nice shoes, you know, if you went to Nordy's, you know, went to Nordstrom's and splurged on a nice pair of, you know, leather-soled shoes, gents, you know what I'm talking about. Got a new pair of loafers or lace-ups. Go to the store, buy some treats. You know, they're going to charge you a dollar for a bag, but get two bags. It'll be totally worth the money. The trick is you put them on each shoe and then kind of tie a knot. So your shoes are in bags. Because the homeless, it's not the people that are working at Citibank, okay? Those are not the ones that are pooping on sidewalks. It's the homeless. It's the crazy money homeless that the government can't fix. They cannot fix the problem. And they're hamstrung by political correctness and refusal to act. And so consequently, you got people that are spilling all over Market Street and in the financial district, pooping left and right. And yes, if I look at the map, now the clever thing is if you do text, if you do use your smartphone for texting, you're familiar with the emoji, the little smiling poopsicle. So that's what they have on this map. And do you see this, guys? Do you see this? Okay, this map is covered in droppings. The project shows, I'm reading from this article, this is in the Daily Caller. The project shows that the heat map for poo is most heavily concentrated directly in downtown San Francisco. Well, no crap. I had to. You know why? That's where all, yeah, that's where, exactly. That's where all the homeless are all right there off of Market. If you go up into the Tenderloin towards City Hall, that is where everybody is, right there. And it also follows the poo concentration. Now, had an interesting discussion about this weekend. I spent some time with my mother-in-law up in Utah. My mother-in-law is a wonderful person. She also listens to this program. I have to be careful. But my mother-in-law is a very religious woman. And she has a huge heart. And I was explaining to her that we here on the program had declared a war on homeless people, not just homelessness, that we had taken it that extra step because the government isn't doing anything about it. And her answer to this was, what would happen, Sam, if I were destitute? What would you do with me? Ah, I took a deep breath. Filled my air with lungs, and I said, you know, I am absolutely certain that if you had a need, you could get taken care of. That homelessness is a two-prong problem, or a two-part problem. First problem are drugs, and the second problem is mental illness. And I'm not talking about the fakey, you know, Trump mental illness. I'm talking about real, honest-to-goodness, you know, departure from reality. On the flip side, we live in a country where we can't just, you know, lock people up because they're nuts or because they're on drugs. We have civil liberties, so we've got a conflict there. But we certainly have a government that owes a responsibility, and when they say to all citizens, I mean, yes, to the homeless, but also to the taxpaying property owners whose sidewalks are literally littered in SH. You know what I'm talking about. And in line with this is an article in the LA Times, Why is Liberal California the Poverty Capital of America? And it's true. We are, when you look at per capita GDP growth in the last 5 years preceding 2016, so from 2011 to 2016, you know that California state GDP was 12.5% increased? 12.5%, the whole U.S., right? The whole U.S. national average in that same period, only 6.27%. We are a wealthy, wealthy state. And you know why we are literally in the crapper? Not to abuse a metaphor. It's our welfare system. It's a little more complicated than that, too. Some of it has to do with housing prices. And incidentally, those two can be traced in part to crazy liberal ideological thinking. You know, for example, back in 71, they passed an environmental protection law. It's kind of the big ta-da moment of the left in California when they were able to protect the environment. They created an agency. They staffed it with a bunch of, you know, basically Nazis who went around stopping construction projects, chasing every little, you know, Cornish game hen that was running around, you know, or spotted frog or, you know, hairy leopard or whatever it was that was, you know, indigenous, quote unquote. And in this article, in this LA Times article, and again, LA Times, guys, this is not, you know, we're not talking about, no, this is not in the National Review. They're talking about how, you know, these types of regulations in an environment can add to a development, to an average housing development, $1 million in costs. So where's that money made up? It's made up. It adds that as a cost to when a developer goes and buys up land, puts homes on it and sells it to you and me. It gets passed on to you and me. And so anyway, that's one of the things that driving up housing prices. It's all this environmental stuff. But when it comes to welfare, we have no work incentive baked into the process. We give money to people, no strings attached. And it is absolutely insane. When Clinton, together with the Republicans, back in the 90s, instituted welfare reform, there was a work requirement initiated. There's a phase out of certain benefits. The idea of welfare is to help people temporarily. And it isn't that. Welfare is this open-ended feed the pigeons. And what happens when you feed the pigeons? Have you been to Venice? This is Venice, Italy, not Venice, California. Same like Paris. I'm hearing about this news story of Paris, this horrible story about this family. Every time I hear Paris, I think of the other Paris. Anyway, Venice, you feed the pigeons, they come, right? This is and this is what's happening. We have got to get a grip. And part of the homeless problem, I mean, it's crazy to say, we still have a homeless problem, even though we are literally the most generous state with benefits that we hand out. So it's not a question to answer to all the liberal do-gooders out there. Oh, we need more. We need more programs. We need more assistance. We need more. I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer. The crazy. I just think it has to come down to strong work requirements. We have to do this. We cannot be dead last in poverty rates and top of the charts in GDP growth. And this is where liberalism just loses it. This is where liberals have absolutely tanked this great state. They've been in charge, right? This is a blue state. Politicians here can get away with their blue state nuttiness, basically unfettered. There's nobody holding them back. There's nothing. There's the Republican. Wait, you think there's? Yes, there's three Republicans in Sacramento. I think maybe four. And they've absolutely they're busy waving the white flag. No, they've got a Democrats have a supermajority and they own this problem. You know that we give benefits to people that are 200% above the poverty line in their income, and that's just their declared income. They might be getting some cash payments somewhere or making some cash money on the side. 200%. It's nuts. And just to give you an idea of the staggering scale of this, from about 1992 to 2015, the state and local governments have handed out over $950 billion, with a B, billion in welfare benefits. This isn't all benefits and disability benefits. This is just welfare handed out on a platter. It's nuts. And then, you know, the thing that do you see when you drive and you see a store and they say, you know, we take EBT cards. It's created an entire cottage industry that caters to this. Well, look, fixing the homeless problem, this is a complicated issue. I'll tell you what. You don't put shelters right in downtown. That's another thing that I think city planners have failed. There's a great example of this in Utah, in Salt Lake City. I was just up there this weekend. There's a development, a mall, a shopping mall, that is called Gateway, and it's just south of I would say the city center. It used to be very popular. Now, there's a host of reasons why it's not popular anymore, but one of the big problems that it faced was that there's a homeless shelter a block away, and you had vagrants coming into the shopping center, and it made it less desirable for businesses to be there. And now, literally in the 10 years that, a little bit more, that I since it was built and that I've been going there, I've seen that place just go down, 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 and down. Now, if you think that's heartless, I've explained this. Why does Orange County, I live here in Orange County, we're deep behind the Orange Curtain. I go to the courthouse, I'm a lawyer, there I am in Santa Ana, and what do you see? There's the homeless encampment. There's got to be a better place for it. You want to put a place for people to hang out during the, absolutely, do it. But they're not entitled to, there are restrictions. You go to a park, There's a no camping rule. You can do this, but it takes political will, and we have none. Our politicians are spineless. They're totally just, they've given up in deference to political correctness, and it's nuts, and we're all suffering for it. Every time a young mother goes with a child to get a birth certificate down in Santa Ana, she literally has to walk through poo. And what are we upset about? We're upset about Trump calling Haiti a poo hole. My God, is this real? Unbelievable. I want to fix this state. I love California. I love it here, but this is just absolutely insane. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Don't go anywhere.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. You know, one of the things that that is statistically relevant here in the welfare debate in California is the fairly significant disparity between the percentage of immigrants that receive benefits to natives. You know, it's native Californians, right, people from this state. 30%. Immigrants, 55%. You know, one of the most overused and inaccurate statements is when we talk about immigration. Unfettered immigration, open border immigration, people coming whenever they want, however they want, is that they're all contributing, that they're all coming into the state. And I should say these are not Native Californians. Excuse me, these are Native Americans. So this is not Native Americans, but people who are American citizens, right? Very interesting stuff. There's a big difference. Anyway, not everybody that comes here is a contributor. What do you think happens when Trump talks about, you know, chain migration? What do you think happens when somebody who comes to this country legally wins the lottery, right, comes in, and then dad, mom, grandpa, grandma, great aunt, sister, you know, they all come in. How many of those people are able-bodied and of working age? And who provides for the people who are not? Why don't we get to pick and choose? Maybe we, when it comes to immigration, we want immigrants who are working age at least. What do you think about that? This isn't heartless. This is just math. Eventually, we run out of money, right? Margaret Thatcher said socialism is all fine and dandy until you run out of other people's money. And that's what it's going to be. Now, California is getting pretty creative with how they plug the holes. The latest scandal is the gas tax. Have you heard about this? Well, our gas tax in November went up pretty significantly. Big number. We went up by 12 cents in one day. Hey, listen, you know that maybe that doesn't affect you, but it affects a lot of people. 12 cents, that's a big deal. Did your gas cost go up every time you tanked up, put 20 gallons in the tank? What are you looking at there? It's real money. Well, guess what? It's going up even again in July 2019. It's going to go up another 7.5 cents, which means that between state and federal taxes, we're going to pay 65.7 cents a gallon in gas tax. And this is a tax, by the way, that disproportionately hits the poor. For one, they call this a regressive tax, right? The poor people tend to drive more. They live further away, right? Because if they work in, if they work in Santa Monica, they can't afford to live in Santa Monica. So they're coming from far away. And if they're coming from far away, they're driving there because we don't still have the magic bullet train that is taking us from here to there at the speed of light. That's a fact. And then what are all the rich people driving? These ridiculous, Teslas, zooming and vrooming that are themselves subsidized. Ironically, they're subsidized by the state with carbon credits, Meanwhile, they're not paying into the fund, right? They're not paying 65.7 cents in gas taxes because they don't use any gas. Oh, what a mess. Well, but the real story here is that this money is supposed to go to fix roads, but they keep using it. You know, Schwarzenegger did the same thing. He raided the fund. It's like this piggy bank that's supposed to help our roads because you know what the roads are like. I mean, gosh, driving along and it's like being on the Indiana Jones ride in Disneyland, you know. You're just all blah, 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 and you're just bumping up and around. And meanwhile, the money that you were putting towards the road every time you pump up is going to welfare. It's going to pension, you know, programs for people who are, anyway, working in the system. It's crazy. All right. Yes, yes, yes. I'm gonna get to the Flake thing. Flake is calling Trump Joseph Stalin tomorrow. He hasn't done it yet, but he's sort of doing it. So he's giving a speech and he's teasing it out. So I don't know. If you think Trump is Stalin, you might want to hear this. And if you think Jeff Flake is nuts, you're going to want to hear this too. Don't go anywhere. We got John Wolf up next with the news. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yes, this is your place for the unfiltered, unvarnished truth delivered by me, your host. Okay, the phone number, if you'd like to reach me, 800-222-5222. sam@samnation.com is my email. I actually do check this myself, so if you email me something, I will look at it and will reply if it is relevant. So, Jeff Flake, where do I begin? Once upon a time, Señor Flake was a valiant and brave American. He was a congressman. I have a coworker of mine, an attorney, a very competent and bright man who worked for Jeff Flake when he was in Congress, when he was a member of the House. And this was in Flake's, I would say, conservative epoch, because at this point in time, Flake was a guy who was combating government waste. He was basically kind of like a Freedom Caucus. I don't know if he was part of the Freedom Caucus or when the Freedom Caucus came about, but at any rate, Flake was that type of guy. He was almost a don't tread on me Republican. Yeah, Tea Party guy. Well, Señor Flake has had a complete reinvention. Now, we're not talking about the Chelsea Manning type of reinvention, but politically speaking, virtually the same thing. Because he has had his conservative bits lopped off by I don't know who. And ensuing in this process, he's been partially lobotomized. If you don't know what a lobotomy is, look it up. Flake has gone full and anti-Trump. He is so mad. And, you know, the entire point of what happened to Flake, it's not unusual. Guys go to Congress, they go to Washington, D.C. And when I say guys, I mean gals, too. Okay. Congresspersons go to Congress, they win, and they've got ideals, and they get to Washington, and they go full establishment because they get sucked in. These are all ambitious people, correct? Is it fair to say that somebody who runs for Congress is ambitious? I'm trying to explain this so you understand where the transformation occurs. They're ambitious. You get to Washington. And now what do you need in order to fulfill your ambition there? You're not done. You're not just like, oh, I'm in Washington. I'm just okay. Ba-da-ba-da. You want to get on a committee, right? You want to put a bill forward. You went to Washington to do something. Well, you ain't doing nothing in Washington, either as a Republican or as a Democrat, if you don't please your party leadership. You have to kiss a money. And they get sucked in. Because in exchange for moving up the ladder and progressing, so to speak, being ambitious, fulfilling their dreams of being, I don't know, senatorial or congressional, they have to make nice with these old toads that are sitting there, ribbit, 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 just constipated in establishment politics. And we don't like it, do we? This is exactly why people hate Congress. So Flake went in there full of ideals. Everything's great. Then he ran for a vacant Senate seat, won. And when he hit the Senate, this is where it all went downhill. He turned into a total Mitch McConnell stooge. And now that his transformation is complete, he has decided he cannot win re-election. He is retiring because he can't win. People in Arizona don't want a soft on immigration, Trump hating guy. They want to make America great again. They want a border wall. They want things that Flake does not want to do. And Flake is bitter about it. And he's gone full anti-Trump. Now, tomorrow, he's given a speech. And we come back, I'll tell you some snippets of it. But he's comparing Trump to a very famous dictator. A dictator whom I don't like. Now, it's funny because a lot of socialists love this guy. He's their hero. They've modeled a great number of things that we have here in America on him. FDR, you know, liked him. So I'll tell you who it is when we come back. But you're going to want to hear this because this stuff is sick. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my lawyer, my champion, sweet James Bergner. This is the guy whose number you need to have in your hip pocket for when you get into an accident, if you're injured, if a product blows up in your face, if the North Koreans shoot down the plane you're in. I mean, this is the guy that you need in your corner fighting for you and your rights. His phone number. It's super easy to remember, I think at least, because I remember it most of the time that I'm doing these commercials. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Over $400 million collected since the firm opened just 14 years ago. James has a great team of people. They're all good, top shelf professionals, and they are standing by waiting to help you. All consultations are free. There's really no downside. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't call the insurance company. Don't try to negotiate. Get a professional in your corner to fight for you. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Friends, it's good to be here. Jeff Flake is going to compare Trump to Stalin. And this is all set for a primetime announcement tomorrow. Now, the Washington Post is already salivating over this. And they're quoting little dribbles, little piddles dribbles that are coming out that Flake is leaking in order to get media attention. Quote, well, all right, let me back up for a second. Do you know what he's criticizing Trump on? Do you know why he's criticizing Trump and calling him Stalin? Because Trump is using this phrase where the press is an enemy of the people. Trump has done something very unique that any politician, you know, okay, most conservatives, when attacked by a liberal press, have played the part of a battered spouse. Okay? It's my fault. Okay? I'm sorry. Hit me one more time, please. Not making fun of battered spouses, please. But do you understand that Bush was in an abusive relationship with the media? Do you not? It was plain as day. And Trump did something completely. He decided to take the media head on. Now, look. Trump is not arresting members of the media. My parents grew up in communist Czechoslovakia. My father and mother both lived in a Stalinist country, in a socialist communist satellite republic. in the 50s, during the height of Stalin's power. My dad still remembers the glorious day that Joseph Stalin died. Official thing was you had to mourn. My parents, grandparents and parents celebrated, of course. Ding dong, the Wicked Witch is dead. Fighting back against a media that is hostile to you is not the same as Joseph Stalin eliminating the press, killing the press. This is nuts. And the media, the press is, I mean, here's from the Washington Post today. But Flake's warnings about Trump are even more significant than comparing the president to a Soviet dictator. When Flake criticizes the president, he is criticizing his entire party for standing by such a leader. Quote, "This alone should be a source of great shame for us in this body, especially for those of us in the president's party, for their shameful, repulsive statements." Repulsive and shameful statements? Calling the media the enemy of the people and saying that they're liars and it's fake news? Are you kidding me? What utter nonsense. What hysteria. This is BS. Flake continues. This is snippets from a speech that we're all going to get to hear tomorrow. "I dare say that anyone who has the privilege and awesome responsibility to serve in this chamber knows that these reflexive slurs of fake news are dubious at best." Hey, remember we were talking about the Wall Street Journal yesterday? How Trump said, I'd have a good relationship with Kim Jong-un. And the Wall Street Journal changes it to, ha ha ha, he says, I have a good relationship with Kim Jong-un. Ha 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 ha, he's so stupid, he doesn't have a good relationship. Ha 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 ha. What is that? I hate the term fake news, but what is it other than lies? How is the media the hero here? Of course the media is going to write about Flake as a hero when he's protecting them. But this is just, this is nuts. Absolutely crazy. All right, I have some snippets, audio sound bites coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're going to want to hear this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Jeff Flake, Republican senator from Arizona, in previewing his Stalin speech, Trump is Stalin, is interviewed on MSNBC today by Casey Hunt. And Hunt says, listen to this. You compare in the speech President Trump to Joseph Stalin by calling the free press the enemy of the people. This is a great exchange.
You compare in the speech President Trump to Joseph Stalin, who called by calling the free press, quote, the enemy of the people.
Well, I'm saying that he borrowed that phrase. It was popularized by Joseph Stalin, used by Mao as well. Enemy of the people. It should be noted that Nikita Khrushchev, who followed Stalin, forbade its use, saying that was too loaded, that it maligned a whole group or class of people, and it shouldn't be done. I don't think that we should be using a phrase that's been rejected as too loaded by a Soviet dictator.
Is this guy insane? Do you think maybe calling President Trump Stalin-like is a little too loaded itself? These people, by the way, how does he say forbade? He says forbade its use. How did he pronounce it? Forbad its use. Yeah, these guys go to the Senate and they literally they think that they're so superior. He's starting to talk like some Massachusetts liberal, both in style and substance. Okay, a little bit of a lesson on how communist countries work. I have to let you know this again, given my family's experience. I have some, first and second hand information about this. There is no press. In reality, any communist country, okay? It's not like the press even in the Soviet Russia today, right? Yes, the press is very oppressed under Putin. Certainly independent media is. But there is independent media. Back during Stalin, I mean, there's one government news agency and that's it. And they are the mouthpiece of the government. They print what the government tells them to print. What's some historical context for Senator Flake here is that Stalin's, this is just Stalinist propaganda railing against a press. What kind of press was he railing against? It was his press. They were his newspapers. These were government agencies that print what they are told to print by the Central Communist Party. My God. Oh my gosh. It's nuts. But we have a press that is 95% hostile to Trump. And undocumented over and over again, they lie. They flat out lie. They have an agenda that they absolutely are shameless in concealing. Now, Jeff Flake walked some of this back already, even before he gave the speech. Listen to what he says here on CNN International with Christiane Amanpour.
I am in no way comparing President Trump to Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin was a killer. Our president is not. But it just puzzles me as to why you would use a phrase that is so loaded and that has such deeper meaning, the press being the enemy of the people. And so that is a big concern. What this president does, the most powerful man in the world, has lasting implications, and it has implications for journalists worldwide, as well as our free press here in this country.
There's nothing that Trump is doing to hamper free press. You know, Obama investigated 200 reporters. He imprisoned two of them. You know this? This is real history. Trump put, Obama put reporters in jail. This is nuts. Where was Senator Flake then? You know what it comes down to? Trump is a threat to the media because he fights back. He doesn't accept their narrative. And he's a threat to establishment party politics because he's calling their BS too. So, of course, naturally, they get together, become the strangest of bedfellows, a formerly conservative Republican senator, and the mainstream left-wing nutso media have joined forces against a common enemy, the Trumpster, who is taking down their world. Thank goodness, it's about time. All right. Transgenderism. Up next, you don't want to miss this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolf, up next with the news.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios, located in an undisclosed place on the right side of the Orange Curtain. All right. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam at samnation.com is the email. Chelsea Manning. I guess this is all thematic here. Chelsea Manning, of course, formerly known as Bradley Manning. At the time of her 2010 arrest, she was 30 years old then, also male at the time. Oh, she's 30 now. How old was she then? When did that happen? Yeah, 24. Pretty young, though, right? And she was an Army analyst. And you remember the big WikiLeaks dump of documents related to the Iraq War? Well, those all came from Chelsea Manning. She ended up getting arrested, convicted, went to jail, and then was pardoned by Obama. You remember this? Okay. Oh, and by the way, I do believe that the gender reassignment surgery was provided courtesy of us, the taxpayers, because while Chelsea was at Leavenworth is when they did all the nip and tuck. Okay. Anyway, she's running for the Senate. Did you hear about this? Chelsea Manning for U.S. Senate, and she's got a really spooky ad. Can I play it for you? Will you let me do this? Because I... Okay, I'm going to play it for you. Try not to cringe too much. I'm here. I'm giggling. You might even hear me in the background. Go.
We live in trying times. Times of fear. Of suppression. Of hate.
There's the word, hate.
We don't need more or better leaders. We need someone willing to fight. We need to stop asking them to give us our rights. They won't support us. They won't compromise. We need to stop expecting that our systems will somehow fix themselves. We need to actually take the reins of power from them.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
We need to challenge them at every level.
Okay.
We need to fix this.
Okay.
We don't need them anymore.
Okay.
We can do better. You're damn right we got this.
Now, we got this, and that's, by the way, hashtag we got this, has been Manning's activism slogan here for quite a while, and there's also a bunch of emojis that she uses after that. This is absolute nuts stuff. By the way, as far as advertisements go, I'm going to tell you my honest assessment of this one is that it's not good. It's really dark, and there's no positive message. You're supposed to paint whatever you're running against as spooky, dark, bad, icky, you name it. And then you're supposed to provide a happy, optimistic idea of what it is that you want to do. And it honestly, it sounds like the ad wasn't very well thought through because there's no pivot in the ad. It's a little helpful suggestion for Ms. Manning. Yep. Yeah, exactly. Lacks a transition. Well, at any rate. Oh, in Maryland. Did I say that? She's running in Maryland. So I, you know, it's fascinating to me, though, first of all, that you've got someone who is a former felon, right? I mean, you've got somebody who, were not for Obama, would still be in jail, who's a traitor, who literally swore and promised to keep our secrets safe and turn them over, lock and stock. Fascinating. This is somebody, I don't think that her chances are very good. I don't know what the scene is like in Maryland. Anyway, fascinating story. We will follow this. Now, I didn't necessarily plan to talk about Chelsea Manning and then to talk about another transgender issue, but this I think is fascinating. There is a rapper, a singer called Genuine. And you would think that it would be pronounced genuine, as in genuine, the real deal article. It's not. It's pronounced G-I-N-U and then wine, like the alcoholic beverage. Now, there's a big story about UK's Celebrity Big Brother. This is a very, very trashy TV show. If you're not familiar with it, they lock people up in a house. They put cameras in there. Usually there's some sex and other stuff, hookups, you know. Very lowbrow entertainment. Very popular in England. It's a highly rated program. And the Celebrity Big Brother house always has, well, celebrities that go in there. And they have a gal by the name of India Willoughby, who was formerly a dude, I guess now has transitioned and is a gal. And the singer Genuine have now been embroiled in a bit of a controversy. And it comes from Genuine's refusal to kiss Willoughby because she's trans. Listen to this exchange.
Then I believe it's your choice, too. Like, exactly. I would choose not to. Like, that doesn't make me,
but you would
scared.
Go, you would go out with another woman.
Would I go out with another woman?
You would go out with a woman.
Yes, of course.
But you wouldn't go out with a transsexual woman.
No.
I'm a woman, right?
Okay.
Forget about any T's or anything in front of it. I'm just a woman, okay? So on that score, you would date me, wouldn't you?
Not if you told me you was trans.
No, I'm not telling you I'm trans. I'm a woman.
A woman, yeah.
You would date me, then.
Woman, yeah.
Go on, let's have a kiss.
No.
And then she tries.
And I think
it's just not that interesting. Cut it. We get the point. So she tries to kiss rapper Genuine. Now, first of all, I don't exactly know the full setup here of what leads up to this and what the ground rules are for Celebrity Big Brother. I admit I have never watched the show. I've seen clips when they're relevant in the news, never watched a whole program. So I don't know if it's usual and customary for people to have kisses forced upon them. But to me, it feels a little me too, right? I mean, there's just a little bit of unwanted contact. But the internet, instead of condemning, right? This is where we are now, folks. instead of condemning or saying, look, look, the guy didn't want to get a kiss. Okay? He didn't want to get kissed. So leave him alone. Instead are reacting as, oh my goodness, this guy is transphobic. This, and by the way, he's a liberal guy, you know, he's a rapper, he's cool, he's, you know, he promotes liberal causes, and he's, you know, he's very woke. So now he's in trouble because this is a very unwoke thing to do. Now, I personally struggle, I've talked to people about this privately, so let me talk to you about it now myself. Somebody comes up to you, a friend, and they say, you know, I really, really don't like my arm. I just don't like this arm. I want to cut this arm off. What are you going to do? Well, if you show up at a hospital with that plan, I don't know if talking to a friend, your friend might be like, that's nuts. You're crazy. But if you show up and you tell a doctor, I want you to cut off this perfectly healthy arm, what's the doctor going to tell you? Well, first of all, the doctor won't do it. Okay. Medical ethics prohibit it flat out. Doctor won't do it. And probably you'll be referred to a psych exam. Jim Acosta will go on CNN and tell you that you're nuts. Well, that's if you're a public figure. And if you are Trump. Okay. But it's crazy, right? Somebody comes up and says, I want to cut my arm off. Nuts. But all of a sudden, when you want to cut off a sex organ, I mean, oh my goodness, this is fantastic. We support you. This is great. And I think, hear me out here. Opinions evolve. Maybe I need some time on this one. But I'll tell you, I think we're just going a little too headfirst into this. I think that this rapper, for example, Mr. Genuine, he doesn't want to kiss this transgender woman. He's attracted to women. And he can't get past the transformation. But society expects him to. Society demands it of him. So it's extremely funny to me, not funny, actually a little bit alarming, that somebody can just declare their gender to be something else, and we're all immediately supposed to respect it. But we can't respect people's, I don't know, their own likes and dislikes. For rapper Genuine, sexual identity is binary, male, female. You heard the exchange. But we are forced, okay, we are forced to buy into this. There's a study, and I'm most alarmed when it comes to kids. This is a separate issue, right? But, you know, you hear about kids that are transitioning. And I read an interesting study about this because kids are confused about gender identity. It happens, but not in the way necessarily that you would think or that the press right now is celebrating or everybody that's woke and that's on board with self-mutilation is all giddy about. And I'll give you this example. There was a boy, there's a prominent study that was done. There's a boy who wanted to become a girl, told his parents, I would like to become a girl. And the parents referred this child to a psychologist. Okay, pretty appropriate first step. Now, the psychologist fortunately wasn't like many psychologists today who would immediately set this child upon a course of, I don't know, hormone therapy, et cetera, et cetera. But instead what happened is they talked to the kid and they found out that this boy had a sister. There was a sister added to the family, a child. And the sister had a very severe disability, physical disability, that took an enormous amount of her parents' attention. Well, can you figure out what happened? So the child, the girl took a lot of attention, leaving less attention for the boy. And the boy and his 7 to 8 year old brain, to him, that meant the way I get love from my parents is if I'm a girl, because the girl my parents love. Changed some parenting things, made some adjustments, and presto, everything was fine. And I just don't think that we have figured everything out yet. I don't want to be, you know, first and foremost, I'm a humanist, and I think that everybody requires compassion. I also think that that we all have rights that are enshrined in the Constitution, and at the end of the day, I'm all about consenting adults doing whatever the hell they want. That's, as a libertarian, that's where I stand. But I am thinking about this on a philosophical level. And something tremendously bothers me about the media, about Twitter, everybody ganging up on a guy who doesn't want to kiss a girl that was formerly a dude. This is crazy. We are expected to buy into every new, and some of the stuff is a little bit loony. It is when you step back away from it. I know I'm going to get dumped on for this, but you've got to admit it's I don't think that the science has all been figured out. I don't think that the final word has been spoken, but I think that we rush as a society too quickly to get on the latest fad, the latest trend. We want to, you know, what do I always say about victimhood? You have to be the latest and greatest, newest thing to get attention. And in our social media hyper environment, how do you get attention? You've got to put yourself out there as having some new issue. And I don't know what it's going to be in 10 years. I don't know what's going to be in 20 years. I don't know what's going to be in 50 years, but it frightens me. It really does. And it's just like if somebody shows up and says, I'm Napoleon Bonaparte. What do you do with that person? Look, this is a, 5150. You say Bellevue Hospital is down the street. But somebody says, I have a penis, but right now I feel like I'm a woman. Roll out the red carpet. Anyway, so with that, we'll follow this rapper Genuine story. It's interesting. It's funny when, and it's kind of like the Me Too thing, where you have liberal icons who fall victim to the very ideological tidal wave that they advance and they support, and then it claims them, right? You see people, celebrities on the left who are getting eviscerated by the Me Too movement. They're all for the Me Too movement. They believe every victim needs to be believed. They believe in every latest trend. And then it claims them. They inadvertently do something where they say, whoa, I'm not comfortable with that. Next thing you know, they're in hot water. All right. Speaking of hot water and doctors, Trump went to the doctor, and the doctor tells us all about it. And this is good stuff, because now we know a little more about how Trump's health is. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News, talk, evolve, 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right, Trump went to the doctor, and this is actually a very important story. Normally, okay, the president's physical, the annual physical, is not a big deal. You get the doctor. He stands up. There's, by the way, a military doctor who is with the president at all times. He's a white, becomes his personal physician and travels with the president. It's a very important role, right? We've got to keep the president healthy and alive and all that good stuff. So this guy gets up there. This is his name is Admiral, Rear Admiral Dr. Ronnie Jackson. He also incidentally served as Barack Obama's physician, and he declared Trump today to be in excellent health. Now, this, by the way, is infuriating the media. Well, for one, they all hope that Trump is going to drop dead at any minute, right? They see him with this bucket of KFC, and they just think that he's going to drop dead soon. They also wanted to know all about his cognitive ability. Now, why is this? Well, because they want to have Trump declared nuts and incapable of serving in his position. Now, reporter asked, he actually asked the question, look, you say he's in such good health. We know what he eats. We know the kind of garbage that Trump puts into his mouth. Listen to this exchange.
Can you explain to me how a guy who eats McDonald's and fried chicks and all those Diet Cokes and who never exercises is in as good a shape as you say he's in?
It's called genetics. I don't know. It's some people have, you know, just great genes. You know, I told the president that if he had a healthier diet over the last 20 years, he might live to be 200 years old. I don't know. I mean, he has incredible genes.
It's not fair, but it's true. Some people can eat literally, I mean, you know, live on like herb roots and forage for berries. And run marathons, and they drop dead at 58. And then some people, you know, I don't know, my father has some friends like this that are just chain smoking, you know, alcoholics, you know, the old, you know, Europeans, they live a different life. And these are musicians, and, you know, they're a little different than you and I. One friend in particular, I mean, this guy's never going to die. And the stuff that he does to his body would kill a horse. Anyway, so genetics, it is. By the way, that just got everybody in the room, right? Do you see the exchange here? Highlights that the amount of hostility that the press has for Trump, it goes right down to the fact that he eats In-N-Out, or excuse me, not In-N-Out, McDonald's, worse stuff. Right. In-N-Out's great for you. Good for you, actually. I'm not a doctor. I'm a lawyer, but trust me. Anyway, the point here is very interesting about this fast food stuff. I think the press needs to leave this alone. Absolutely don't touch it. This is where the media just absolutely continues to lose it. Let me tell you. Well, no, I hope they keep at it, right? I hope they keep at it. Every time they talk about Trump drinking Diet Coke, every time they talk about Trump wolfing down McDonald's and KFC is a plug for the president to regular people. Let me say this another way. Regular people do all of the things that the media keeps lobbing at Trump as a vice, as a bad habit. They're trying to say he's unfit. He's a doofus for drinking 12 Diet Cokes and for eating McDonald's. But this is tremendously alienating to so many people. And it confirms again that the media live on Mount Olympus. I mean, these are guys that all eat their, go to their gastro pubs and eat their, you know, drink $20 cocktails and, you know, swirl fine wine in glasses and drink bubbly champagne and their, you know, little pinky finger up in the air and they go, oh, Trump and his Diet Coke, as they're drinking kombucha, thinking how great they are, you know, and the rest of the country. Right? People that don't live in D.C. and don't live in Manhattan and don't live in Santa Monica. What do you think those people eat? McDonald's. This is ridiculous. All right. We've got John Wolfe up next with the news. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Operators are standing by.
Hello?
At 800-222-5222.
Go ahead. Say it.
790 KBC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC, 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam at samnation.com is the email. Can you tell me what a dromedary is? I don't know. Can you? Well, actually, it says dromedary or camel, so it's a giveaway. But that is just one of the questions that is on the cognitive ability test that was administered to President Trump by his military doctor, the White House physician. Normally, this test would not be administered unless the doctor thinks that there might be some cognitive impairment. But the exam here was given at the president's request. And this because everybody in the media and the world is going crazy about Trump being nuts and losing it. All right. Do you know what the score is on this exam? It's out of 30. Do you know what Trump received? By the way, this this test is called the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, or MoCA. It was created in 1996 for medical professionals to identify mild cognitive dysfunction. And what it does is it assesses things like concentration, attention, memory, language. They even make you do math. They take a number, I think it's 90, and they ask you to start subtracting by 7. They make you do that until you're all done. You're all the way down to 0. So can do it quickly. Can you do it? Right? 90, 83. Yeah, you get the point? You just have to keep subtracting by 7. And anytime you get a wrong answer, it subtracts a point. So Trump scored on all of this stuff. He was able to identify a camel. He identified a rhinoceros. He was able to, they've got a little pattern where they do a, there's numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but scattered about. And then A, B, C, D, and E. It, well, so letters, right? And you have to, one, you link to A, you link to 2, 2, you link to B, right? And no lines can cross. And every time you make a mistake, you get a point deducted. Anyway, I don't know a lot. I actually would probably make some mistakes on this test. His score was 30 out of 30. Totally normal. Well, Jim Acosta over at CNN. Oh, I mean, this was just, oh, this just shook his world. Listen to him press the doctor at the press conference today about this issue.
Just to make sure we're clear on this, when you analyze his cognitive ability or neurological functions, that is not the same thing as a psychiatric exam or a psychological exam.
It is not. No, it's a screening assessment for cognitive impairment.
Yeah, right. Wait a minute. Now we got some shifting goalposts, right? This whole time we were told that basically he has early stages Alzheimer's. Experts were identifying signs of what? Of dementia. And now they've proven that he doesn't have it. And they're like, whoa, 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 but there's something deeply psychologically troubled with this individual. My son right now is huge into Pirates of the Caribbean. Kill me. I mean, it's just the worst movies. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, what's that? There's one of the Pirates of the Caribbean where they've got a woman who has been declared a witch and they're going to hang her or kill her, or execute her. Why is she a witch? Because she's learned, right? She's an astronomer or an astrologer or something, right? She's educated. You know, sometimes people who had different ideas back in the medieval times, perhaps like Galileo, who was like, well, maybe the earth is not flat. Okay, maybe it's round. These were heretics. They were crazy. They were called crazy because what? Their ideas did not conform with the mainstream. So this is how they are, right? They got a guy who comes along, says what we're all thinking, calls it what it is, and he's the crazy one. I don't think so. All right. A little bit more on this when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my lawyer, my friend. I said that twice. Maybe I'd pass a cognitive test. I don't know. Sweet James Bergner, this is the guy that you need to call if you've been in an accident, if you've suffered an injury, if something has fallen out of the sky, for example, a piece of blue ice. If you don't know what that is, look it up. All right. Give Sweet James a call. He will help you get through it. Simple phone number, 800-881-2021, 800-881-2021. You heard Jillian talking about James a minute ago. He is every bit the guy that she said, and then some. I've known James for years, and I can vouch for him. He's one thing about him is he really cares. He is absolutely invested in his clients and in his clients' success. So give him a call. Him and his team are standing by, ready to take your calls. 800-881-2021. All consultations are free. No recovery, no fee. Easy. 800-881-2021 or visit SweetJames.com. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Jim Acosta over at CNN having a meltdown over this cognitive ability test that was administered to the president. And I am talking about it. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Oh, you know what else? Trump is fat. That's true. That's why, well, they're making, he has a BMI of 29.9. Now, when it comes to these numbers, I have absolutely no idea what they mean. Apparently, I guess it's all based on your height and your weight. And this is your body mass index. Anyway, if it was just a little bit more, if he was an inch shorter, apparently he would be, he'd be obese, technically. So Trump's got a lot of weight. He's 239 pounds, but he's 6'3". He's a tall guy. I don't know. I think he wears it well. This is, again, if the media is going to run today and tomorrow with the story about Trump being fat, I think this is alienating, too, because I hate to break. I don't know if people, do you know this? Americans are fat. Did we just figure this out now? We got a lot of chubby people out there. And this is great. You look at Trump. And you look at somebody who looks at Trump and goes, yeah, he actually looks pretty good compared to me. And you got the media running around calling him fat. I don't think that that plays well. Do you? Well, I'm just throwing this out there. See, this is Trump derangement syndrome. It's exactly it. Because media, in its effort to screw the president, ends up screwing themselves. Because they say things like this. This is, by the way, the left would call this fat shaming, right? We're told we're not supposed to do this. It's not nice, but they're doing it. They're bad. Throughout the articles, by the way, that I've seen today, they have that picture of Trump on his plane with his bucket of KFC. And if I think of one enduring image from the campaign, it is Trump on his multi-million-dollar private jet where every little piece I could, you know, I mean, I know a little bit about this. So this is absolutely perfect. He has that airplane just, you know, tip-top shape. And he's sitting there at his console table with inlaid wood and his perfect leather and shiny gold accoutrement. And in the middle of it is a giant bucket of KFC fried chicken. And, oh, yeah, exactly. And Trump is sitting there smiling like, you know, I mean, he is smug as a pug bundled in a rug. And that is, and you know what? If Romney was sitting on his jet, you know, eating, you know, tofu, you know, tofu chips. I don't know. I mean, Romney couldn't play it off. He couldn't. And I don't even know, you know, he just couldn't own his success. And more importantly, there's absolutely nothing about Romney that's relatable. And Trump mastered this. And this is why he continues. It was an end run around the media. Guffaw, he's a this, he's a that, he's a vulgarian, he eats KFC. Meanwhile, the rest of America looks at it and goes, yeah, cool, he's like me, only he's got a jet. You know, shoulder shrug. This is great stuff. Media, listen to me. Keep doing what you're doing. Trump 2020. We're headed to an electoral win. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right, there are a few Democrats in Washington that decided that guns are bad. Now, you know this is a common refrain of politicians. They love to talk about, oh, all the guns that are freely available. This is fascinating. They Representative Congressman Elijah Cummings, Democrat from Maryland, as well as Pocahontas Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, and Brian Schatz from Hawaii, commissioned the GAO, this is the Government Accountability Office, to create a report to look into how online private dealers might be selling guns. So they wanted to see if illegal guns, or more specifically, if guns online were falling into the hands of people that aren't allowed to buy guns. The entire point of forcing persons, forcing us to buy guns through authorized resellers, is that those resellers then can be responsible for doing background checks on those of us purchasing weapons, right? And they were convinced that all this online commerce that was going on, that it was putting guns in the hands of bad people that weren't qualified. All right. Out of 72 attempts by undercover agents of the GAO to entrap or otherwise entice online sellers to sell them guns that they shouldn't have. And what they did is they basically let them know that they, in some respect, weren't qualified. I can't go to a gun store. Thanks, man. Or, hey, bro, you know, just on the down low, you know, I have a felony or whatever, right? So those kind of prohibited things. Out of 72 attempts to make sales, how many of those do you think were successful? How many? 5? 8? 15? I mean, that'd still be pretty low, right? Out of 72. It probably would surprise you that the answer is 0. Nada. Nits. Right? None. Not one single successful attempt. How much money was spent on this? The investigation took 2.5 years. I want to ask, too. 2.5 years and they only made 72 attempts? This is the government at work. It's crazy. They went to the surface web and the dark web and went after prohibited individuals. Now, it doesn't say here in the story how much this thing cost. The National Rifle Association, the NRA, immediately seized upon this news story, right? They said, look, this is an embarrassment. Now, obviously, the system works. But the best part about the story is, so this comes out, and do you think that when it comes to, let's say, Pocahontas Warren, is she any less anti-gun out there? Has she moderated her position at all? Has she been wisened up by this? Nope. Nada. And that, I think, is exactly what the left likes to do, right? There's facts that come out. Ignore them. They don't matter. Facts are not relevant. What matters is our emotional reaction to whatever issue is out there. And in my view, this is a very, none of these people are going to change their tune about guns. They've drafted a very expensive study, 2.5 years, did an investigation and showed that the system works. I think that this is good news all the way around. All right. We're going to be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. As per usual, trailblazing through the day's news and giving you the insights that you desperately need. It's a confusing time out there. A lot of misinformation. So we're happy to provide some bit of relief from all of that. Really grateful for all of you. And you guys make the show what it is. And very grateful. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We'll be right back.